newsmaker. We've had so many, I can't keep up. Caroline Levitt, she's been on the show, of course, before. She's a candidate in the 1st Congressional District as a Republican. I'm going to ask her out of the gate. Are you running for in the 1st District, or are you going to jump into the Senate race? Good morning, GMI Studios. How are you?
I'm well, Jack and Corey. Thanks for having me. And I will answer your question directly, Jack. No, I am not running for U.S. Senate, partly because I'm not old enough, but I hear some wishy-washy answers from some of my opponents in CD1. So to be clear, no, all of the voters in New Hampshire can count on me to be on the ballot in CD1 next year.
Well, hey, listen, you know, the president was here yesterday touting the infrastructure bill. We had Senators Hassan and Shaheen on touting that. We had just had Chris Pappas on talking about that infrastructure bill. Why don't you talk about, from now that the president is coming, what the Woodstock red-listed bridge in Woodstock over the Pemigewasset, but also broadband being talked about. Now, here's an interesting question I want to ask you. So I'm going to pull this up, and one of our contributors and friends out there sent this to me. So here's a question he wanted me to pose to people like you as newsmakers. So we're going to throw this one at Caroline Levitt, candidate 1st District. $17 million, I believe, in New Hampshire as part of the EV chargers in the infrastructure bill. $17 million. It works out to about $6,300 per electric vehicle in the state. There are fewer than 3,000 in the entire state. There are only about 3 million in the entire country, 1% of vehicles. Almost all are owned by wealthier people, and 70% are in California. How is this smart spending? Why send billions to rich California folks who have more electric vehicles? So the question is, Michael Graham, New Hampshire Journal. It's a good one. Caroline Levitt?
Well, the answer is there is not. This is not smart spending, Jack, at all. And this is why I came out adamantly opposed to the infrastructure bill from the very beginning, because we are seeing a dramatic push, like for things like the electric vehicle manufacturing in this bill, which would dramatically transform our economy. But also, now is not the time to be spending. I saw a video yesterday posted by WMUR-TV, Adam Sexton, of a gentleman who lives in Woodstock, New Hampshire, who talked about the increase in gas and in oil and how he literally cannot afford to heat his home this year. And he said, great, I'm glad they're fixing this bridge, but now is not the time to do it. We're seeing the highest inflation. And again, this goes back to Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, quite frankly, just being controlled by the radical left. And I heard Chris Pappas's interview. I look forward to running against him next year. And he really does a great job of coming off as a moderate Democrat. But the truth is he isn't. And he voted for this package that does have $17 trillion for EV manufacturing and many other pet projects for the liberal left. And he's voted in favor of all of their policies and legislation over the past several months. Now is not the time. And again, I'm a young candidate. I like to bring it back to my youth because we need to get young people engaged and involved. My campaign is heavily focused on that. We're actually investing digitally in order to do that. But the burden of these packages and the debt that our country is facing is not only a national security risk, but it's going to fall on the shoulders of young voters. We need young people to understand that. Again, now is not the time. We're seeing the short-term consequences of this bloated package. And unfortunately, we're going to continue to see it because the Democrats, they're still hell-bent on this socialist spending spree. Joe Biden, Pelosi, Pappas, they do not seem to be rolling back the curtain on the spending despite those big wins in Virginia and seeing the American people rejecting it. So they're completely out of touch. And there's so many pieces to this puzzle in this package that are wrong. And again, we love infrastructure. We want bridges. We want roads. We want clean air. We want clean water. But now's not the time.
We just had Caroline Levitt on Matt Maurer's as well this morning. And I asked him very clearly, and he did answer the question second time around. He's not running for the U.S. Senate. He's staying in this race as 1st District Congressional Republican hopeful. He was a nominee last time. You're a challenger. We had Tim Baxter on the other day, Gail Huff Brown yesterday, I believe. My question to you is, on the race is, have you spoken or reached out to former President Donald Trump to get involved in this primary? You worked in the Trump White House as Deputy Press Secretary. Matt Maurer served under the State Department area. He last time, you know, it looks like he was kind of be the chosen one of Corey Lewandowski. He hasn't been in the news lately for a while. But are you seeking the Trump endorsement? Has that been decided yet or not? And do you need it?
I would be honored to have former President Trump's endorsement. As you mentioned, Jack, I did work in his White House directly for him, for his press secretary for a couple of years. And I also worked on Capitol Hill for Congresswoman Elise Stefanik as her spokeswoman, who is a great ally of the president. And she just endorsed me. I actually believe she endorsed my opponent, Matt, last cycle, but she has endorsed me this cycle. I'm very honored to have her support. She is now the House Republican chair, really the the highest ranking Republican woman in Washington, D.C. And so we are making waves here in New Hampshire. I know the president is aware of the campaign that we're running, and I hope to earn his support. Absolutely.
And finally, you know, the Democrats in the governor's race, if he had run for the Senate or as a fourth term as governor, no doubt are going to try and make abortion an issue. You've seen these groups, the so-called Sununu abortion ban. Mm-hmm. We had House Speaker Sherm Packard on Friday sort of shoot that down, saying it's a big lie. It's not a ban. It's after 7 months. Mm-hmm. There are certain restrictions, but not an abortion ban. But that's what's being called. My question to you is, if abortion is going to be an issue in congressional races or the gubernatorial, are you pro-life or pro-choice?
I am proudly pro-life. I would always vote that way in Congress. I've been very clear on that. And actually, Jack, as a young woman, I feel a moral obligation, quite frankly, to be a strong messenger on this issue. I think we have the ability to change minds. Our entire culture has been pushing this message of being pro-choice and has really, quite frankly, brainwashed a lot of young people. So I feel very strongly about the issue of life, and we'll continue to talk about it with constituents across the district when I do speak with them every night. Tonight, I will be in the great town of, or actually in Merrimack County. Tomorrow, I'll be in the great town of Dover. So last night, I was in Epping. So we are in a different town every night talking about these issues. Right. I'm proudly pro-life and would always vote that way.
Karen Levitt, good morning, New Hampshire. Now the Newsmaker this morning, 1st Congressional District. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you again soon, GMI Studios.
Thank you, Jeff.